today's shir is Masechta Kinim, Daf Chapei, is actually the first plot of Masechta Kinim. And as the Rambam says, Masechta Kinim is actually the last Masechta of Seder Kachim. In the Seder that we learn, Masechta Kinim comes before Talmud and Midas, but in the Mishnayis, the Rambam, and we look in the Mishnayis, we will see that Masechta Kinim is the last Masechta of Seder Kachim. The subject discussed in this Masechta that only has Mishnayis and no Gemara is the issue of Kinim, where we know that in certain times the Torah Kedoshah tells a person to bring kabonis that are birds, azov, azova, a yeledes, a nida, that the Torah, not a nida, azov, azova, yeledes, carbon oil of yoyrid. The Torah tells a person under those circumstances to bring a pair of birds. One bird is brought as a chatasoif, and one bird is brought as a oilasoif. And as we were going to learn, and perhaps that's the most important point in understanding this Masechta, the way a chatasoif is offered and the way a oilasoif is offered are very, very different. And not only are they very different, as we will describe, if one brought a chatas oif like a oilas oif, or vice versa, he has not fulfilled the carbon is possible. And therefore, the Masechta discusses what is the halacha when there's a mix-up between these birds, what can or cannot be done. As we said, when a person is obligated to bring birds as a carbon, he's going to bring one as a chatas oif and one as an oilas oif. There's a beautiful vart from the Ibn Ezra to explain that halacha. The Ibn Ezra explains that when does somebody typically bring a pair of birds? He brings a pair of birds as a chatas oif and oilas oif because he cannot afford to bring a chatas behema. So he explains that when somebody brings a chatas behema, there's the blood that's put on the mizbeach. There's the part of the animal, the emrim, that are burnt on the mizbeach, and there's the part of the carbon that's eaten by the kahanim. But when somebody brings a chatas oif, he only has the blood brought on the mizbeach, and he has the meat, the entire meat of that bird, eaten by the kahanim. But none of that bird, none of the meat of the bird, is brought on the mizbeach. So in order that there should be also emrim, there should be meat brought on the mizbeach, does the Torah say also bring the oilas oif, where not only is the meat brought on the mizbeach, but actually all of the meat of a carbon chatas, of carbon oilas oif, is burnt on the mizbeach, so the mizbeach should get its shear. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that when someone brings a chatas oif, as we just said, it's referring to an individual who could not afford to bring an oilas oif, so he brought a chatas behema, so he brings a chatas oif. And such a person, as is bringing his carbon, may be upset. Look at where I am up to, that I had to bring a carbon chatas oif instead of behema. And we know a person who has improper thoughts would bring a carbon, would bring an oila. So that's why the Torah tells such an individual that besides bringing the chatas oif, he should also bring an oilas oif to mechaper on that machshava. So as we said a moment ago, the avoid of a chatas oif and the avoid of an oilas oif are very, very different. And to understand, we first have to give a diagram of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was 32 Amos by 32 Amos by 1 Amma height. That Amma was the Amma of the Yesoid, where leftover blood was typically poured. On the west, on the southwest corner, as we learned in Masechta Me'ilah, there were two holes where there they would pour the dam that would go out to a canal. on top of that one amma of the Yesod, which is one amma by, and the Mizbeach at that point is 32 ammas by 32 ammas. Why? The Mizbeach now becomes 30 ammas by 30 ammas by a height of 5 ammas. Then there's an indentation of another amma, which is called the Soivev, which on that Soivev is where the Kohanim would walk when they needed to work on the top of the Mizbeach. Then there was another 3 ammas by a width of 28 by 28. And then you had the top of the Mizbeach, otherwise known as the Gag HaMizbeach. This all equals 9 ammas. And then the 10th amma are the corners, the chronos of the Mizbeach. At the midpoint of the Mizbeach, there was a Chut HaSikra, there was a red demarcation mark, that is where they would, that we're going to learn certain kabbanas are done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, and certain kabbanas are done on the upper half. That is the point of demarcation. When we speak about the Chatas Oif, so of course the first halacha is that a carbon that comes from a bird, unlike a carbon that comes from an animal, doesn't have shechita, it has malika. The kohen pierces the back of the neck of the bird. By the chatas oif, the Torah says, v'lo yavdol, only one simen is severed, not both simonim. The head is not completely detached. There's a machloikis rishonim, where the malika of a chatas oif should take place. Some Rishonim say it could be done anywhere in the Azara. The opinion of the Ravid and the Rambam is that it should chatchila at least be done by the Mizbeach. Afterward, after we have that Malika, we do Hazah, where the bird is held by the Kohen and he waves it towards the wall of the Mizbeach, where the blood splatters, and as we're going to learn, the Chatas Ha'oif is done on the lower half of the Mizbeach. And then we have Mitzui. Mitzui means that the rest of the blood that's in the bird is drained out to the side of the Mizbeach. There is a Machlokes that we learned actually in Masechta Me'ila, if the Mitzui has to be done, if it's ma'akiv or it's not ma'akiv. The malika of an oilas oif is very different. The malika of an oilas oif is done on the upper half of the mizbeach. There is no hazor by the oilas oif. There is only mitzui, and that mitzui is also done on the upper half of the mizbeach. There are Mefarshim that suggests that the mitzui that was done by a chatas oif and the mitzui that was done by an oilas oif are actually two different types of mitzui. Because the mitzui of a chatas oif is just to, after the hazor was done, they took the bird and they pressed the bird against the wall of the mizbeach, and that's the mitzui of the chatas oif. The mitzui of the oilas oif is done by applying pressure to the neck of the bird, and by applying pressure to the neck of the bird, the dam of that bird splatters out onto the mizbeach. Furthermore, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos speaks about kinim. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos uses very interesting wording. The Mishnah says, Pischei nida, kinim u'pischei nida, hein hein gufei halachas. The Mishnah describes kinim and the halachas of nida, which we're soon going to learn in Masechta Nida, as gufei halachas, the most important halachas. And the Mefarshim try to understand, why does the Mishnah describe kinim this way? So one pshat that I saw, the Maral suggests, for as we're going to learn the Mitzvah Shem, most of the situations of our Masechta only come about through mix-ups. Where somebody got mixed up his kinim, he got mixed up the birds that he has to bring as a carbon, got mixed up. And since most of the situations described in Amasechta refer to a situation of a mix-up that could, one could even argue, should never happen, and therefore we would think that that isn't something which is considered absolutely necessary to learn, teaches us the Tana that even though this is something that isn't necessarily ever going to happen, or perhaps we could even say ought not to happen, hein gufe halachas, they're still considered essential halacha. Another pshat that I saw why they're considered hein gufe halachas, because actually, as we're going to learn, most of the halachas that we're going to learn in our Masechta, although we speak about many different scenarios, all really come about from, all really evolve out of knowing the basic rules that we're going to actually learn in today's shiur. So one would think that learning all these other halachas, which aren't only outcomes of just knowing the basic principles that we're going to establish, ought not to be considered learning, teaches us the Mishnah, hein gufei halachas, that even all of these calculations that we're going to learn, hein gufei halachas, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Along the same line, I saw that the Mefarshim explained that why they called hein gufei halachas, because, as we just said, that since they're unlikely to happen, that they are irrelevant b'zman hazeh, even b'zman, why? Because we don't bring kinim nowadays, and even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it wasn't necessarily going to be the situation that the birds got mixed up. Still teaches us the Tana, hein gufei halachas, they're considered actual halacha, and the same with Nida, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, Masechta Nida. We know that nowadays all need to sit Zayin Nekiyim, no matter what type of emission they had. And therefore, all of the calculations, or many of the calculations we're going to discuss, aren't relevant. Still teaches us the Tana, hein gufe halachas. Don't belittle their importance. They're considered the main, very essential part of halacha. And in fact, the Mefarshim go on to explain that Masechta Kinim represents actually what Klal Yisrael is. One shot that I saw is, as we know, there are three types of karbonis. There's a carbon of an animal, there's a carbon of a bird, and there's a carbon of a mincha. An animal is brought by a person who could afford it, a wealthier individual. A bird is brought by a person who can't afford an animal. And a mincha is brought by a person who can't even afford that. So actually the oif represents the middle class. And we ought to consider ourselves typically as part of the middle class. And therefore, Klal Yisrael is compared to the Karim Mincha. Moreover, we know that Klal Yisrael is considered like the bird. The reason Klal Yisrael is considered like the bird, explained the Mefarshim, is either because Klal Yisrael is kalecha harakna kolayoyim, just like birds are hunted and killed, so too is Klal Yisrael constantly under attack. Another pshat that I saw is that the only two types of birds that can be used for carbon are a tyrant or b'nei yoyna, pigeon and turtle doves. And actually, the b'nei yoyna can only be used when they're young, before they develop the feather, a golden-like feather. The tyrant can only be used when they are older. But there are so many other types of birds besides the tyrant and the b'nei yoyna. And what the Torah is teaching us is that even though there are all these types of birds, you could only choose to bring a carbon from these two types of birds. Similarly, when we speak about Klal Yisrael, there are so many nations around the world, but only Klal Yisrael is singled out to be different than all the other nations. And therefore, when we learn Masechta Kinim, it very much represents what and who Klal Yisrael is. So begins the Mishnah. Chatas Oif Nasis Lamatin. The Chatas Oif is brought on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. The Chatas Behema Lamalam. And the Chatas Behema is brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Oilus Oif Nasis Lamalam. The Oilus Oif is brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach. For Oilus Behema, when we speak about the Oilus Behema, it's brought Lamaton on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. And a very important halacha, v'mshina b'zeh b'zeh, if one deviated, he brought the carbon in the wrong place, the halacha is that it's possible. The Farshim discuss, why did our Mishnah need to mention the halachas of a chatz behema and a oilus behema? That's not the subject of our Masechta. The subject of our Masechta is kinim. The word kan comes from what the Torah says, ki kore kan tzipor. So why did the Torah have to mention the animals? So the Pashto Pshat is because the Gemara the Mishnah is trying to contrast the halacha of a behema versus an oif. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we've discussed, our Masechta speaks about situation of confusion where the chatos and the behema got mixed up. And the Mishnah is sort of giving a reason why does such confusion, or how could such confusion occur? And that is because the din of a chatos behema and the din of a chatos oif and the din of an oilus behema and oilus oif are so very different that could sometimes lead to confusion. The Mefarshim also point out that there are, as we said in our introductory remarks, other nafkaminas between a chatos oif and an oilus oif not mentioned in our Mishnah. As we learned, by chatos, you don't separate the head from the body. Why didn't our Mishnah mention that? Because we learned the Masechta Zvachim, that b'di'evid, if by chatos oif, the head was totally severed, the carbon is still kosher. The other nafkamina, that by chatos, there's hazor imitsui, and by oila, there's only mitsui, is because there's an opinion that we learned in Masechta Zvachim, that if you did hazor and mitsui by an oila, as long as you ultimately did mitsui, it's kosher. The other nafkamina, that a chatos, as we learned, is eaten, and an oila is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, the halacha is, according to some Amrim, that if there were no meat left to be eaten from the chatos, that would not necessarily disqualify the chatos. And that's why, again, the Mishnah doesn't mention these nafkaminas, but the nafkamina between being brought on the top or the bottom of the Mizbeach, where there is no l'chatchil v'dievid, if the chatos or the oil are brought in the wrong place, the carbon is pasul, hat is the only nafkamina that is so absolutely essential. There's a vart from Ramei Shapiro explaining why each one of these kabbonis are brought in the place that the Mishnah identifies. Oila sa'if, which we said is the oila that a wealthy person could afford to bring, and a person who Baruch Hashem could afford and brings an oilas behema may feel a little arrogant, so that's the way the Torah says it should be brought on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. But when he brings a chatos ha'if, and a person bringing a chatos sa'if, his heart, he's a broken person, and therefore it's brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach to represent, as the Imri Emes said, the Mokim Shabali Tshuva Oimdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yechoyim Lamed. The oif of a oni, the oilus oif, which is brought by a poor person. This poor person thinks, what is my carbon? I couldn't afford to bring a behemah, I had to bring an oif. So the Torah says, no. We take your carbon very seriously, and therefore it's brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach. When the Oni, however, brings the Chatas Oif, which he's obligated to bring because he did it in Aveira, that he brings on
the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So says the Mishnah, Seder Kinim Kachu. This is the Seder of the way the birds are brought. Hachoiva, when one is obligated to bring birds as a carbon. So as we learned, he brings two birds. One is a Chatos, and one is an Oila. Benadar Menadavis, but if somebody is bringing a Neder or an Adava, he isn't obligated to bring the birds. He's only bringing it as a donation. So as we've learned many times, you can't bring a chatos as a donation. You can only bring a chatos if you're obligated to bring the karma chatos. So then the halacha is the birds that are brought as a donation are always going to be oilas. So since the Mishnah mentioned neder and adava, so the Mishnah goes on to explain eizu neder, what is the definition of a neder? Hoimer harei alai oila. A person takes upon himself an obligation to bring an oila. Eizu nedava, what is the definition of nedava? Where he says harei zu oila. He designates a specific animal to be the carbon. Says the Mishnah, ma bein nedorim lenedavis. What is the nafkamina? What is the halachic nafkamina if the donation was a neder or a nedava? Says the Mishnah, elish nedarim, if somebody obligated himself with a neder, meso nignavu, and then something happens to that animal that he designated, chay bekuryusin, he must replace it. Why? Because since he said it as harei olai, by saying harei olai, what he's saying is that it's an obligation on me, so if it's not going to be this animal or this bird, he'll have to replace it with another animal or another bird. Whereas by Nedavis, since he designated a specific animal, there Mesu Nignavu, if that animal that he designated gets lost or stolen, and Chai Berchuyusin, because he designated a specific animal, and that specific animal, if it's not here, he has no further obligations. The Mefarshim say that our Mishnah only speaks about Mesu or Nignavu. What about if there was a Pshia, if something happened to the carbon because of negligence? So we find a debate amongst the Mefarshim. Some Mefarshim say that if it was a Pshia, then he's not Chayiv. If some Mefarshim say if it was a Pshia, he also will not be Chayiv to replace it by an Adava. Others say that if the person was a Pshia, he was negligent, even though his obligation was only with an Adava, he will be responsible to replace it. The Mefarshim also ask, we have a similar sugya, many places in Shas, similar sugyas that describe the difference between a neder and a dover. And one of the other differences that the Gemara says is that maisa money can be used for a nedover and it cannot be used for a neder. And the question therefore is asked, why doesn't our Mishnah mention that nafkamina? So some of Farshim say that actually the purpose of our Mishnah is not really to learn the halakas of Ned and the Dava. That isn't really the subject of our Mishnah today. And since that's not the subject of our Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't mention that nafkamina. But indeed, that is another nafkamina. Another pshat that I saw is a very nice pshat. Yes, Nedavas can come from Isa money. But when we say Maisa money can be used for a neder or a nedava, that is only to buy shlomim with that money. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about shlomim, because there's never a bird brought as a carbon shlomim. And since shlomim is not mentioned in our Mishnah, therefore, the Mishnah doesn't mention this nafkamina, the Maisa can be used for nedava and not for neder. Interesting discussion also amongst the Paiskim. Our Mishnah clearly taught us that there's a difference between neder and nedava in terms of your responsibility. Neder carries with it a personal responsibility. Nedava does not. And the Paiskim discuss what happens if somebody obligates himself to give tzedakah nowadays, and his obligation is said as a nedava. Will the halacha, that personal obligation, not be there, just like by Hegdish? Or this halacha, that if you expressed your obligation as a nedava,
you don't have personal obligation, was only said by Hegdish. But with Tzedakah, you will have to be personally obligated, even if you use the word Nedava. A very important point to be made, as we go further in this Masechta, is that the Gemara says in many places, we learned this Gemara in Masechta Krisis and Masechta Meila, Ein hakinim misparshois, ela belikichas balim or besias akoyim. As we've learned, when a person is bringing a pair of birds because he's obligated to bring a pair of birds, the halacha is that either he, when he designates these birds, can say this bird will be a chatas and this bird will be an oilo, or if he doesn't designate it at that time, it's designated by Sias Koyin. When the Koyin actually comes to do the avoida with the bird, then it's designated which is the chatas and which is the oilo. At no other point during the processing of these birds can the birds be designated as a chatas and oilo. And therefore, if a person, and typically the Mishnah speaks about a woman, because most cases of people bringing birds are women, Zava, Yeledes, brings two birds without designating which bird should be which carbon, which that is called a kan stuma. There's no designation. A kan mufreshes means that there was designation that this bird is a chatos and this bird should be for the oilo. Begins the Mishnah. Chatos nes arva ba'oilo. If you had one bird that was designated as a carbon chatos, that got mixed up with other birds that are designated as a carbon oilo, or vice versa, oilish nes arva chatos, a bird that was designated as a oilo got mixed up with birds that are chatos, afilo echeb ribua. Even if you have 10,000 of one type and one of the other type, the musakum, they're all left to die. Because, since we don't know which is the chatos, and the rest are oila, or vice versa, and as we learned in the previous Mishnah, a chatos can only be brought on the lower half of the Mizbeach. An oila can only be brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach. If you bring a chatos in the upper half, it's disqualified. And so too, if you bring an oila on the lower half, it's disqualified. We don't know in this entire mixture which is the chatas, or vice versa, which is the oila, and therefore they all have to be left to die. It doesn't become bottle, because a bird, balichayim, birds are choshev, and something that's choshev, the halach is loibatli, does not become nullified. Furthermore, the mefarshim say that our Mishnah is very specific in indicating that this is much greater of a concern when we speak about birds than when we speak about animals, for a number of reasons. First of all, on a very practical level, different karbonos are brought from different animals, and therefore it's much more discernible if there was a mix-up which animal was supposed to be for which carbon. Birds, the same birds are used for all bird karbonos. And therefore, you can't rely on identifying what it was by seeing what type of bird you have in front of you. And it's important to note that when you bring a pair of birds, one for a chatas and one for an oilo, both have to be the same. They can both have to be either tyrant or bnei yoina. But you can't have a pair that's a mixture, one being a tor and one being a ben yoina. Furthermore, when you have, even if you will have a situation of a mix-up by animals, the halacha is, yiru etchi yistavu, we wait till the animal becomes balmum, and we sell it, and we could use the proceeds. By birds, there is no halacha of yiru etchi yistavu. Birds are not up for pigeon for redemption. And therefore, when you have such a mixture that we just described, the only option is yimusu, you let the birds die, and the people who are obligated to bring karbonos will have to bring new kabbonis. Says the Mishnah, Chatos shenis arva b'choiva. If one bird, which was designated as a chatos ha'oif, got mixed up, and first we'll learn in a very simple situation, with a pair that wasn't designated, ein kosher
Ela k'min yechata shebechayva. So the case that we'll describe is one bird, which is a chatas ha'oif, got mixed up with a pair of birds, an undesignated pair of birds. One is a chatas, one is supposed to be a chatas, and one is supposed to be an oila. Paskins the Mishnah that what you'll be able to bring in such a situation is only one chatas. You'll only be able to bring one chatas, and that one chatas that you, that's all. Why? Let's think about it. We have here three birds. The chatas bird, and the pair of birds that wasn't designated. I'm going to take one bird and use it as a chatas. So no matter what I've done, I'm okay. Because if it was that chatas bird, so great. If it was from the pair that wasn't designated yet, so that bird now is, that I brought the way a carbon chatas or if it's brought, now it became designated by the kohen's action, the lekichas basias hakohen, as the chatas bird. But now I can't go any further, because if the other bird, if this was the chatas bird from the pair that's a chatas and oila, the other bird automatically becomes an oila, and I can't do an oila as I did a chatas. So now when I have these two birds left, we started with three. One was a chatas, and the other were two undesignated birds. As soon as I bring one as the carbon chatas, I can't do anything with the other birds. And again, says the Mishnah, so too will be the halacha. Can oilish this ava b'chayva? You had one bird that was designated as an oilish oif that got mixed in to other birds, to a pair of undesignated birds, and kosher ela k'minyan oilish b'chayva. You can only bring the amount equal to how many obligatory carbon oilers you have, which in the case that we're discussing, you only have one obligatory carbon oiler bird, because you only have one pair of undesignated birds, and that will be the maximum amount of carbonus you could bring, and the less will have to be left to die. What do you do then? They have to be replaced. And I, one was brought, that one that was brought is fine. Says the Mishnah, these halachas apply, ben shechayvim meruba unedavim mu'atis, whether the amount of pairs of birds are more than the amount that is a nedava, ben, which is another way of saying a carbon oila, because an oila could come as a nedava, ben she nedava meruba vechayvim mu'atis, or whether you have many birds that were designated as an oilus nadova, and you don't have that many birds that were designated as your pairs, or bein shishteim shavus, or whether if they're both equal in number, all of these halacha, the halacha in all these cases is the same. The halacha in all these cases is the same, that we have to we can only bring as many as there are in obligatory of the type that got mixed in. So if chatas got mixed in, not in the case that we mentioned, but let's say it's a situation where you have a number of pairs of birds, and one chatas got mixed into, let's say, two pairs, so you have four birds, and by having four birds, you now have two chatas and two oilers, and the chatas got mixed into them, the halacha will be that you can only bring two chatas. And three, you have a total of five birds. You started with one chatas, getting mixed up into four birds. So you'll only, two of which those four, two are chatas and two are oila. The Mishnah's then will be, you can only bring two as a carbon chatas, and the other three cannot be used. And so on and so on. Says the Mishnah Gimel, the Medvar Mamurim, when is this halacha said? Bechoyvu minedava. The case that we just described, where a nedava bird got mixed into chayva birds. When we had oilers, which are nedava, got mixed up with pairs that have chatas and oila, as every pair does. Aval, b'chayvishness ar b'zu b'zu. Let's say you'll have a situation where two women, or more than two, bring pairs of kabanas, and they got mixed up one with each other. And the Mishnah says, let's say you had Achas Lazuv, Achas Lazuv. Each one of these women brought one pair of birds. Or Shtaim Lazuv, Shtaim Lazuv. Each woman brought two pairs of birds. Or Sholosh Lazuv, the Sholosh Lazuv. Each one of these women brought three pairs of birds. Daloch will be Mechtz a Kosher or Mechtz a Pasul. Half of your total amount of birds will be kosher, half of them to be used as an oila, and half to be used as a chatos. That means, let's say, the last case that we just learned, where each one of them brought, had three pairs. So if each one of them had three pairs, that equals 12 birds. So the Mishnah is paskening, you'll only be able to bring 6 of those 12, and then from the 6 of those 12, 3 can be used for chatos, and 3 can be used for an oil. And let's understand. Let's learn an easier case. Let's start off with each woman having only one pair. So each woman comes with a pair, one being a chatos, one being an oil, non-designated. And now they get mixed up. So what really should happen here is, it should be fairly simple. Half of the birds are chatos, and half of the birds of oilus. But as soon as the woman, let's say one bird is brought as a chatos, so the corresponding bird automatically gets designated as an oila. So if one bird is brought as a chatos, so its pair is an oila, but we're looking at this entire mixture since it's non-designated as one big mixture. So as soon as two birds are designated as a chatos, the other two are oila. We don't know which is which. So we only could bring one as a chatos and one as an oila, and then the rest will not be helpful. Because, let's understand better. If the birds that were brought were a chatos and oila of one woman, so she's fine. She fulfilled her obligation. But let's say what happened here was that one bird that was brought belongs to one woman, and the other bird that was brought belongs to the other woman, so therefore we have a problem. And therefore the only amount of birds that can be brought is half of the total mixture. Achas Lazu, the Shtaim Lazu. Let's say the first case of this Mishnah was where the amount of pairs that got mixed up by the two different women, each woman came with the same amount of pairs. But let's say we have a situation where one woman comes with one pair, the Shtaim Lazu, and the other woman comes with two pairs, or the other woman comes Sholosh Lazu with three pairs, or Es Lazu, the other woman comes with 10 pairs, or Mei Lazu, the other woman comes with 10 pairs. So we have the first woman with only having one pair, and the other woman that's coming with undesignated birds with many, many more pairs than the first one. The halacha is only the amount of Hamuat Kasher, the amount of the woman with the lesser amount of pairs, only that amount of birds will be kosher, b'mishem echad, and doesn't make a difference. But this halacha that we're learning makes no difference if the women who are bringing their kabbonis are bringing them for the same reason, b'mishtei shemus, or for different reasons, b'mish achas, whether these two pairs are mixed up from one woman, or whether they're mixed up mishtei noshem from more than one woman, which we'll describe more in the next Mishnah. So just to explain this thing, if the first woman had two birds, one pair, so what we'll do is we'll bring two birds, one as a chatnis and one as an oiler, regardless of how many pairs the second woman had, because whichever two birds will be brought will be fine, whether they both belong to the first woman, or whether both birds have a different owner. But we can't bring any more than these two birds, because if we're going to bring more than these two birds, we have to be concerned that only one bird belonged to the first woman, and therefore the second bird of her pair automatically got, let's say we brought it as a chatas, automatically got designated as an oila, then, and it can't be brought as a chatas. And therefore, if we're going to bring anything more than those two birds, we always have to be concerned that we're bringing oil as a chatas as an chatas, as an oila, which, as we learned is in the first Mishnah, automatically disqualifies. So as we learned in the previous Mishnah, it makes no difference in these mix-ups why and who brought the kabbonis. So the Mishnah explains itself. Keitzem Mishem Echad, what is the definition that they both brought it for the same reason? Let's say, Leida V'Leida, both women brought kabbonis because they had children. And as we said, a woman who is a Yoledes has to bring a pair of birds as a carbon. Or Ziva V'Ziva, they were both Zavais. Mishnei Shemis, what is the definition of Shnei Shemis? Leida V'Ziva. One brought a carbon because she was a Yoledes, and one brought a carbon because she was a Zava. Ketzed Mishnei Nashim, what is two Nashim? So this is all one woman for either the same reason. She's bringing two pairs of birds, both for Yoledes, two pairs of birds for Ziva, or one because she was a Yoledes and one because she was a Zava. What is two Nashim? Zuleida v'Zuleida, two different women coming because they were both Yoledes, or Zuziva v'Zuziva, two different women coming because they were both Zavais. That's the situation of Shem Echad, that they all came for the same reason. Mishnei Shemis, you could have two women with two Shemis, where one woman is bringing the carbon because she was a Yoledes, v'Zuziva. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even though you can have many different factors, many different reasons for bringing the kabbonis, different women, different reasons, still the halacha of the previous Mishnah applies. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Shtei Nashim Shalachu as Kinein Be'eriv, as two women, both were obligated to bring a pair of birds, brought all of their birds in one mixture, or they didn't even bring birds. They just brought money for four birds and they gave it to the Kayin. So here, Lezesh Yirtz Kayin Yakrev Chatas, whichever bird, whichever money the Kayin chooses to use for Chatas, he could use. Lezesh Yirtz Yakrev Oila, whatever he wants, he could use for an Oila. Beimishtem Echot, and this halach applies whether the women are bringing their Kabbonis for the same reason, Beimishtem Shemus for different reasons. So the Gemara in Masechta Erevin discusses what is the reason for Reb Yossi's pshat. Some say that the way to understand Reb Yossi is because of Breira, that the Kohen, by doing this Avoida, is showing Breira retroactively which carbon is which. Another pshat is that it has nothing to do by Breira. By the women designating the Kohen to be their shliach, he has the right to make that designation, and his designation is the only thing that will count, and there won't be any other concern to be worried about, and therefore this is not considered a situation of mix up, and they're going to do it this way. Hanun lachatas oif, hanun lachatas oif, hanun lachatas oif.